intelligence committee, they've got a matter that they are dealing with that requires a quorum. I hope that within the next 20 minutes or so, then they would have dealt with that matter, then you will be joining us. Honorable members, today we are actually receiving a briefing from the Auditor General in relation to the two entities that are reporting to committee, that's the Electoral Commission, as well as the Government Printing Works, on the annual reports. And after that, then we will receive a briefing from the Department of Home Affairs on the Refugee Amendment Bill. I'm sure honorable members will remember that we have been waiting for this bill. This bill has been in the kitchen for many months. And eventually it is out, and we will receive this briefing. But I want to indicate that we have kick-started the invitation to the public as well as interested persons or institutions to actually make their submissions or representations, and so that when we start with the public hearings, then we'll possibly have them lined up. It is going to be a very lengthy public hearing on this specific one, because it actually deals with service delivery, unlike the BMA that we are worried about the establishment of an institution. It is planned that we'll be here until 4 o'clock, but I hope that some sort of efficiencies that we may exercise during these two presentations may allow us to finish a little bit early. Because I've just picked up that the Office of the Auditor General here, it has got quite a good number of delegations. So a couple of offices may be closed the other side. And then the quicker we finish, then they can go back there and continue some service delivery. So now, but from the Office of the Auditor General, we're having Umi Zimbali, yeah, as a senior manager. Then we have got Carl Vessels, also a senior manager. Then we've got Zolisa, and then it's a business executive. And then we have got Ms. Noctula. This is the new title that I'm coming across. Parliamentary Liaison Manager. Yes. I think we can help with the Parliamentary Liaison Manager, which I think in others we talk about officers. Eh? Yes. Noctula, can they see your face?
Just stepped out.
Yeah. Okay. So then, Mbali, you are here. You can stand on your two legs. The member wants to see you. Thank you very much. And then we can have Zolisa. Yeah. It's also out. Okay. They've gone back to the offices.
Now they've got the DMR for the program committee.
Okay. I thought that they're going to check emails. Then we have got from the Office of the State Law Advisors, then we have Advocate Van Alt Wiechen. And then and also Advocate Nayu. They were here. Have they stepped out as well? Looks like there is some reasonable ill discipline. But it's not punishable. Right, and then from the Department of Home Affairs, Some are not here because I'm not aware of Dion Erasmus here. He's on his way. Okay, and then Madu Misa is here. Or all of them that are not here. It's only Sam that is here. Oh, okay. Okay, the Home Affairs delegation is not yet here, except Sam is representing them. I just hope that he's representing them in totality. And then we have got Ufiona. I'm avoiding to pronounce the surname because it is it's a double barrel long.
Rowley Willie Che.
Rowley Willie. I think I'll be assisted in moving forward. I've been avoiding till it's from the IEC and it's from the office of the CFO.
Correct.
Yes. She's here to hear what is happening about the IEC. And then we have got a delegation of two from DPW as well to come and hear exactly what the Auditor General is saying about the government printing works. Is the acting CEO, Uthandi Moyo. And then the CFO, Mr. Barnard. You know, as I heard one member last week, and then talking about the acting officer, saying that no, it's, we are not interested in art and performance. You know, it must stop this acting. I hope that we not say the same thing to acting CEO of. The GPW. Then, honorable members, I think that there are members that have tendered apologies, and SJ Nkomo, I think she is sick, but I spoke to her over the weekend. She's she thinks she's coming well, and probably in the near future, then she will pitch up, but I've made a plea with her while she's sick to actually try and seek some help from her party to have somebody else who can join us so that they don't miss, especially with the public hearing of the two pieces of legislation that we are going to engage in. And then we have got Honorable Sope. She's not here, she's busy about not Christmas fall. I think she's actually having hopes. You know, she's taking a cue from the speech of the National Assembly. And then we have got Dr. C.B. Mulder, also has apologized. Then Honorable Hussein also has apologized. And those that have not apologized, and then that means they are not here, except that honorable members and the delegations is to indicate that this committee has lost one member, Honorable Nessie, who was a full member of this committee. He passed on the previous weekend on a Sunday morning. And we have been informed that the funeral will be on Friday. And also, I think we'll try to communicate to members that those that want to attend that should actually speak to members' facilities for logistical arrangement. And also, the support staff and those that are interested in Home Affairs issues, who actually feel that they want to go and pay their last respect. The funeral is on Friday, starting from 9 o'clock, I think, in the morning in Grahamstown. Then those that can do so, then I think we should be able to do so. I'll actually now informed that if we could take a moment of silence for his passing. Thank you. May his soul rest in peace.
Amen.
Honorable members, and without actually misusing a lot of time, it's really to get the AG to be ready. And honorable members will realize that the report we are receiving from the AG probably will also hear from that report is that the annual report of the Department of Home Affairs itself has not yet been tabled. And because there are issues that relate to the annual report in terms of the financial statement, I think that needs to be sorted out. Honorable members will remember that we used to have problems of the income from DERCO. That has been a problem to the books of Home Affairs. And then there were agreements that were made between Home Affairs and Treasury, how they should treat that income in their financial statements. And it looks like since that agreement and then which we clapped hands, that now this matter has been resolved, then it looks like it has raised some problems with the Auditor General because such income, it is not actually appearing, as I was informed, that is not appearing in the Home Affairs books for accounting purposes, and it is not appearing in DERCO, and therefore you can't have that kind of a situation where you've got money that comes, that flows in, but nobody is accounting for it. Then in terms of the agreement of Home Affairs, I think with Treasury and the rest, they did agree that they will put it as a note in the financial statements to that effect, but then it doesn't appear in their actual financial statement. But then when it go to DERCO as well, it doesn't appear the other side. And then it creates some sort of a problem which Auditor General has flagged. Now, it looks like for them to correct that after having spoken to Auditor General and Treasury, then they had to actually rework their financial statement to see how they can actually reflect it, and also how they actually deal with the accounting responsibilities of those particular figures. You'll remember that it is not collected by us, collected by others, and sent to National Revenue Fund, but then we expect Home Affairs then to account for it. So there are quite a little bit of few things that needs to be sorted out. And we are expecting the Auditor General to be done with the audit in the middle. The middle of this particular month, and then the annual report expected to be tabled towards the end of October, and then we should be able to talk to the department very soon after that. I think we should just simply brace ourselves for the annual report to be tabled, and we should be the happiest. Are we ready, Auditor General? Khanfua.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will take you through the slides. I believe that the documents were circulated beforehand. There were two documents that were circulated. One was the slides, and then the other document was a Word document with the overall detail of the audit outcomes themselves. Like it was said, my name is Wulfuno Mbadi. I'll be the one that will be taking you through the slides, and then with the assistance of Carl. Okay. Our reputation promise as the Office of the Auditor General is to strengthen the country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through our auditing. And then through that, we are here today to assist the committee with the BRRR process in giving you the audit outcomes of the two entities, which is IEC and GPW. Okay. The focus is going to be in three areas, which is going to be in the financial statements themselves, the reliability and the presentation of the financial statements, also the performance information, which we will be talking to the reliable and the credible performance information against the predetermined objectives, and then the compliance with the key legislation. The compliance with the key legislations will be touching on the financial aspect and also on the performance management aspect. Okay. Then the audit outcomes that the entities can obtain, it's what we call unqualified opinion with no findings, which we have termed the clean audit opinion. In the clean audit opinion, we mean that the financial statements are reliable, there were no material misstatements that were identified, and then also the performance information, when it was checked against the annual performance plan, it was useful and reliable, and then also the key legislations, there were no material non-compliance with those key legislations. That is what we are terming the clean audit opinion. And then the next opinion is what we call financially unqualified with findings. Here the financial statements are free from material misstatements. However, the entities either failed or they struggled with the performance information, which they did not set clear performance indicators and targets, and then whatever was reported, it was not reliable. Or they had material misstatements in they had material non-compliance with key legislations. Then the next three opinions, it's qualified opinion, which is mainly on the financial statement side. What we mean by that is that the financial statements, there were some material items in the financial statements, and that the entities, they could not correct before they submitted the financial statements or we finalized the audit. And then most of them as well will not comply with the key legislations in some instances. Then the adverse opinion, we have the things that was identified as the underqualified opinion. However, the misstatements in the financial statements were so many in such a way that we now give them an adverse opinion. And then the disclaimer of opinion, more or less same issues that you see on your qualification and your adverse opinion. However, the biggest issue here is that the entities could not provide us with evidence on most of the items that were disclosed in the financial statements. That is just background to explain the different types of audit opinions that can be obtained. Okay, then the 2015-16 audit outcomes and key messages for the Home Affairs portfolio, specifically for GPW and IEC. Okay. If we check on the first block on the left-hand side, I've got the legends there explaining the different colors, what it means. The green color means it's unqualified with no findings. The yellow color is unqualified with findings. And then the purple color is qualified with findings. Pink, adverse. Then the red is disclaimer. And then the blue is outstanding audits. If you check on the 3 years, in 2015-16, we had a regression there. GPW moved from an unqualified with no findings to now unqualified with findings, and then as indicated by the chairperson, Home Affairs is still outstanding for this year. Okay. Then the three areas, the next area, which is the compliance with the key legislation. both Home Affairs and GPW, they had issues on non-compliance with the key legislation. And then if we move to the final block, we're talking about the performance information, the predetermined objectives, where now GPW had no issues on the predetermined objectives, and then IEC had issues on predetermined objectives. The biggest issue there was on the outreach program, where the reported performance information was not supported by valid and accurate supporting documentation. Then the status of the key controls for the two entities. Under leadership, we can see that IEC is doing well there. They just need to concentrate more on IT governance, and then GPW, the oversight responsibilities, and then the action plans. Hence, now there was a regression as compared to the previous year. And then the financial and performance management. GPW is doing well there. The biggest issue that they had was the performance, was the review of compliance with laws and regulations. And then on IEC, based on the performance predetermined objectives, accurate, complete information is needed there. And then also the daily and the monthly processing of controls there. And then on governance, on IEC, there was issues with the internal audit, which was not really effective throughout the reporting period. Okay, based on the assessment of those status of the key controls, we come to the assurance provider level, which is the block on the right-hand side, where we have assessed both the senior management for and the accounting officer authority for both GPW and IEC as yellow due to the findings that we have identified in the financial year. And then also the executive authority of IEC was assessed as green, and then the executive authority of Home Affairs was assessed as yellow there. Then the second level of assurance on internal audit, IEC has indicated to say that the internal audit was not effective throughout the year, was assessed as red, and then GPW as green. Then the audit committees for both entities were assessed as green. And then the third level of assurance, which is the portfolio committee. If you look below that the colors, there is the basis that we use for the evaluation of the portfolio committee, which we limited it to their oversight role in terms of the budget processes, and then the review of the annual report, and then the audit report, and then also the follow-up on the programs that the entities have made to address the audit outcomes. And then and the recommendations that we gave them in relation to audit matters, how they were following up on that, how you following up on that. So our assessment for the portfolio committee, for this committee, was green for this year.
The internal audit of the IEC, can you say something on it? Does it say it was not in fact for the audit?
Okay, it was not fully operational for the year. So, not necessarily that it does not exist. So there wasn't much that was done in the year that we could say that it was effective. The work that they did as compared to the 12 months or the overall year, they could have done more in the year.
I just would like to know whether they had four meetings as prescribed.
Yes. Okay. I think the honourable member is mistaking the internal audit and the audit committee. Yes, the audit committee did have more than four meetings in the year, and then the internal audit itself is the one that is not. It was not effective in the year.
I think, Chair, sorry, with your permission, if I could just add, in both, if you look at your internal audit, they're a tool that you can use that assists the entity. I always say if internal audit does their job right, they won't be the most popular people in the organization, but in the long run, they help the organization show out weaknesses throughout the year. So it's very important. That's a very important tool that needs to be capacitated and needs to have a structured program that they follow throughout the year to assist the organization to achieve, to have good internal controls. And then also, what we say with the senior management is they almost your first line of defense. Is your senior management. Somebody prepares something and submits something to the accounting authority and to the audit committee to consider. So if they are not putting, making sure that the controls are effective in that environment, you're going to find these findings, these symptoms, that comes out as findings.
Okay, thank you, Chair. If we can move then to the next slide. That tells with the performance management linked to the programs or objectives that we have tested. Okay, on GPW, we tested four programs. On all four programs, there were no material findings reported on either usefulness and then the reliability there. At IEC, we have tested two programs where on electoral operations, there were no material findings that were reported in the audit report. And then on outreach, as I mentioned before, there were issues with the supporting evidence on the reported performance information. Then the next slide that deals with the financial management, that is now the compliance with the overall key legislation. We did not have any findings on material misstatement in the submitted annual financial statements for both IEC and GPW, the both submitted financial statements that we okay. And then the prevention of irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, the way fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure identified for both GPW and IEC, and then also they had findings on management and on procurement and contract management as well. Hence, they didn't get a clean audit report. The main contributor on the non-compliance was the uncompetitive or unfair procurement process that was identified on both entities, and then the preference point system, which was not applied or was applied incorrectly, and then the required number of price quotation not obtained or deviation not approved at the correct level. As indicated before on the right-hand side there, none of the auditors avoided qualification because of the material misstatements that were corrected during the audit, because they submitted the financial statements that were free from material misstatements. Okay. The irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure movement over the 3 years. If I can just mention that for the current financial year, the figures for Home Affairs are not included here. However, in the previous years, the figures of Home Affairs are not included. So fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it was 20,000 rands that was identified. That was now for IEC. And then the irregular expenditure, it was 72 million for both GPW and IEC. GPW contributed 32 million, and then IEC contributed 39 million there. And then the nature of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was identified, it was mainly on penalties and interest. And then the irregular expenditure, that was the procurement without competitive bidding processes, and then also non-compliance with the procurement process. Minimum three quotations not obtained, and then preference point system not applied or were applied incorrectly. Okay. In terms of the consequence management on both entities, from the regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditures that was identified last year, there were measures that the entities took to try and rectify the processes of the past, or to investigate and see if ever there's anybody liable in terms of that. then the root causes, the top three root causes, we are saying that the slow response by management or the accounting officer, accounting authority, to respond to the audit finding, and then inadequate management oversight, and then also lack of consequences for poor performance and transgression. That those are the three root causes, that main root causes that we have linked to the audit findings for this year. And then the commitments given by the minister, most of them are still in progress. The improve the process for asset management with regards to maintenance of the asset register, and then the fast tracking of the automation of system, thereby reducing manual interventions, and then implement credible action plans with milestones for tracking purposes, and then increase the accountability of reporting from regional offices, and then implement proper financial management processes, and then establish an improved leadership model and stronger and strict leaders. These are mainly they mainly relate to home affairs itself. Okay. And then what we are proposing now for the committee is for the committee to monitor the action plans that the entities need to put in place to make sure that they address the audit findings, that we are recommending that the portfolio committee please monitor that. And then also while monitoring the action plans, also the internal controls that they put in place in making sure that they move away from the non-compliance with the laws and regulations, and then both entities move to clean audit status. Okay.
You're done.
Thank you.
Okay. Four and one now.
Thank you, Chair. I think if we look at the two entities, the areas that we've got is very similar, and if we can address the procurement findings, we'll get rid of the irregular expenditure findings, which should then put both entities in a position to achieve a clean audit status. I can hear the CFO here behind me in my thoughts on IEC on the procurement. And I think one of the issues on the procurement was a very tricky one this year that we found the finding. And I think the main objective of procurement is always to be fair, equitable, and transparent. And the one issue that we did find at IEC this year and some of the other entities that we audited is where we provide and we require to specify criteria in our tender documents. It's also important that we tell the people how we're going to evaluate them so that you can also then follow the paper trail and make sure that it is consistently applied. So for instance, if I give a person 10 points for being experienced, how do I assess experience? What do I look at? Do I look at years of service? Do I look at qualifications? And it's once again to promote that transparency, to make sure that everybody knows what they will be evaluated against and how they will be evaluated. And unfortunately, us as auditors, we always come after the fact. So we try and re-perform these calculations. And without these details, it becomes very difficult for us to re-perform. And I think both these entities, if we look at them, they are entities that... I think they are very good entities, and they play a very critical role in the country in the jobs that they do. And due to the nature of their role, they spend quite a lot of money in the procurement environment. So there's really environments that we want to tighten up to make sure that the money is spent correctly there and is beyond reproach. And if we do that, then we'll address the findings in terms of non-compliance and we'll address the irregular expenditure too. So I think it's actually, in my mind, a very fixable scenario, this. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. And at the end of the briefing from yourselves, one just needs to get a picture whether these entities have improved, stagnant, or regressed. Overall opinion. And I tried to look at the Auditor General's report opinion, but I could not make it what you guys are saying. It's not clear. And probably maybe will be assisted when you look at it. And then also there is one thing which I just wanted to understand. And, there is this document, I'm not sure whether you are aware of it. Right. And then the first one that talks to fair presentation and absence of significant misstatements in financial statements. Absence of significant misstatements and absence of misstatements. What is that we are saying? Because I mean, as I was listening to you through this report, you're talking about free from misstatements. And then this document then tells me of significant misstatements. And then I just need to be assisted just to be able to read this. Your two documents, you know, is with some reasonable consistency. You'll come right at the end when members have exhausted hearing. Honorable members, are there issues that the Auditor General should explain to ourselves? Of course, is that just reiterate that Home Affairs doesn't exist, there is no Home Affairs in this document. Wherever you read DHA, read it as not being there. It's IEC and GPW only. That's what this report is speaking to. And of course is that the question that I was asking is about the internal audit of the IEC that I was asking. I actually expected that you tell you, you know, somebody says to us is that the internal audit was supposed to have done X, Y, Z, and then they have not done it as they did before. Just not to say they have not done what they're supposed to do like before. What is that they're supposed to do? So that we have got clarity of the impact of that non-commission. So I think that's what I was just trying to get to. And that's why Honorable Gumede also wanted to make it much more clear to get to that particular point, but we struggled to get to that. I hope that I've clarified, I should be able to get that now. Fichler.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters. My concern is about the 24.9 million that is it's reported by GPW indicates BBBE points being awarded without supporting documents. What is required for this expenditure to be condoned? That is my concern. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nis.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation from the AG. I've got only a few questions to make. I just want to know exactly what are the details of the decline in risk management assurance by the IEQ, the internal audit. And also, on page 14 of your presentation, clearly you've made mention of the fact that expenditure incurred in vain and could have been avoided if reasonable steps had been taken and the value for money. I'm really worried about this. So much money in irregular expenditure. So if maybe we can get a clear indication from the AG's office, what is it really that can be done to prevent this? 72 million, 43 million, 33 million, that is a lot of money. What really happened, if maybe you can unpack for us the page 40 of the presentation. And my other question regarding the AG's report on GPW, I would like to know what are the measures in place as driver of internal control for the oversight responsibility and compliance by the GPW referred to also on page 14 of your presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, and are you ready? Honorable Rafiq,
thank you very much for the presentation. I'm really worried about this issue of the procurement, because there is where the fraudulent tendencies are being exercised. I just wanted to check why the processes was not followed, and is there any kind of consequences that are going to be taken? I think it's totally out of order. I thank you.
I'm sure that question that you have raised, you should wait for IEC and GPW which more for them to actually answer that one. I think at the moment for this specific question, assist us. What is that that has not been done that makes you to pick it up, so that the honorable member then should be able to get it from the two entities tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I'm very much disappointed by the government printing works, which has been performing so well in so many years. And this year, for it to be where it is, really, it is a matter of great, great concern. They have broken the law. And the PFMA, and the auditor says there is no consequence management, and PFMA is a law that we have all to abide by. So that was a comment, perhaps, and the rest will be reserved for government of government printing works tomorrow. The second area I want to check. Last year, the CEO was about to retire. I do not know whether he has retired, but it was a term whilst he was still there. So I don't think that on leadership that matters. And the audit action plans, I think we need further clarification on the audit action plans, which exactly what perhaps was of concern, and then around ICT governance under IEC, and then the possible consequences of of omission of the actions that they were supposed to take. I thank you, Chairperson, but greatly it's around the PFMA and what it prescribes. What actions does it prescribe for condonement? What actions does it prescribe for consequence management? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think there is a need for clarification from the Auditor General on the audit action plans for GPW. What is that that you are really worried about? Are they there, nobody's acting on them, or are they just not there, they've not done so? I think you just need to assist us to audit director deal with that specific matter. And of course is that the oversight responsibility you have spoken about, whether it is just simply non-existent, or it is not done efficiently, or it is just simply people are just doing wrong oversights on other things. You know, there is something to be explained. I think it needs to be explained so that we don't go here with the wrong understanding. The matter that relates to irregular expenditure. Just a little bit of an explanation. What is an irregular expenditure? When an NGG has planned, budgeted for a thing to be done, and then they go out and buy the issue, procure. But then their procurement processes has got questions. Is that irregular expenditure? I think we just need to be a little bit clear on that so that we go out with a reasonable clarity on this particular matter, because we may go out here and think that no, it's people have spent 72 million rands, and then which they were not supposed to spend. Whereas it may have been budgeted, and then the only question may be the process of procuring. That is got questions to be clarified. And I really just need to know that. And also, of course, is the issue that relates to the minimum of 3 quotations not obtained at the preference points, and whether to really, in the general public view of irregular expenditure, when you relate it to that, being the question being that they had only 1 quotation instead of 2, or they just did not apply the preference points correctly. The appropriateness and relevance of the procurement as compared to the wrongful process of procurement. And then the other issue that I just wanted to raise is on the right hand side of the report where you are making recommendations to the committee, especially in relation to the internal control process. There are few that there is very little that we can do other than just watching on the outcome of your audit, other than those things that can pitch up through the quarterly reports. And I think if you are ready, then you can speak to those. But one thing for sure is we need to appreciate the fact that these 2 auditees this time around, they did not need to avoid qualifications by correcting. In other words, that they presented what is good and credible. They present this time around as compared to the previous year, where they have to actually correct some other things in order to move to the higher level of compliance. This time around, that has not happened, and it needs to be. We need to take note of that. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to kick off. I think I'm going to start with the irregular expenditure question, if Chair will be, because I think that will lead us into the rest of the discussion. Chair, basically, irregular expenditure is defined as something as expenditure other than authorized expenditure incurred in contravention or that is not in accordance with the requirement of any applicable legislation. And then Chair is right. It relates to how the transaction was entered into. It's the process that you follow to enter into the transaction. So in the how you entered into this transaction, a condition or an event was entered into, and then there was a transgression in this process that they followed. Now also what is important is the irregular expenditure is only incurred once it's paid. Physical money has been paid out. So if you have significant non-compliance and you condone it before you pay it, it does not lead to irregular expenditure. The irregular part only starts once I start paying money to the third party. Now, for irregular expenditure, once you got it, or you identify possible irregular expenditure, the entity is required to put it in their register to write it up. They need to assess or investigate the nature of the transaction to confirm the irregular expenditure. If it's confirmed, they need to report it to Treasury and they need to disclose it in the annual financial statements. So this is now all the first part of it. And then you need to, as an accounting authority, go and investigate whether a loss was incurred. So that is whether this transaction, whether I would have still entered into this transaction, whether I received value for this transaction that I've entered into, whether somebody is liable if there was a loss, I didn't get value, or I awarded the contract incorrectly to the wrong person, whether I need to hold somebody accountable, whether there's a person attached to it, and then also you need to look at whether that's a crime. So whether I need to go to the SAPS or to the National Prosecuting Authority. Then if no loss incurred, you can request condemnation from the relevant authority. If there was a loss incurred, but no one is liable, there's no person attached to it, then you need to write it off as per the PFMA. If there is an official liable, you're going to create a receivable, you owe me money, and you need to recover that from the person through legal steps or for whatever steps. So that's quite a complicated one. And if the expenditure is irrecoverable, you write it off, and if there's a crime, then you report it to the SIPS. The instances that we dealt with here, I think as all, there was a transgression with the law. I think with both entities, the investigations are still complete. So whether we can hold somebody accountable and the consequence management for the current irregular expenditure, we cannot determine. As part of the process, the committee could request the entities to report on the investigations that they've conducted into the irregular expenditure to see, you know, to follow the steps. Is somebody liable? Do we need to hold somebody accountable? Are we going to recover it? Or are we just going to condone it because we would have done it in any case? As part of our audit process, the Chair rightly pointed out, I'll be back in 12 months' time to talk to you about if nothing happened in the past year on consequence management, to tell you that either something happened or didn't happen, whether that will also then constitute a significant finding if we found it not to have been done. So I think that's the background for irregular expenditure that we're going to talk to. You will go through those as we go through them. Okay, the Chair asked whether the overall picture has improved and regressed. For IEC, the picture has remained the same. However, for GPW, it has regressed. They were always clean, where they had no material adjustments to the financial statements, no findings on predetermined objectives in their performance report, and no significant non-compliance. So this year they had significant non-compliance areas there. Then, Chair, I think I have to apologize here on behalf of my colleague here for using the term interchangeably misstatement and material misstatement. If we talk about it in our audit report, it is significant. It is a material misstatement, as the guide showed out, a significant misstatement, yeah. So it is big enough to make the auditors uncomfortable. And that is, I think Jay rightly pointed out as well, the financial statements from the two entities received were not subject to any material misstatements this year, which is very good. So that means what they base their decisions on throughout the year is accurate. You don't come year end and in the audit process you identify something that was significantly wrong and then management got the... So they're not waiting for us to come and find. So I think that's a positive aspect. I'm going to deal with internal audit. Okay. On the 24.9 million on GPW, on what to condone is, GPW, I know, is in the process, they've already approached National Treasury to have the irregular expenditure conduct. So that means they should be pretty far advanced with the investigations if they're already at the aspect where they're asking for condonance. So that process is ongoing. I think the only thing that happened there is we just asked, how do you confirm whether if a person used subcontractors, that the subcontractors don't exceed a certain amount as required for the legislation. That's what we asked there. We're going to talk about IEC, irregular expenditure. I think we've talked about. To remember, we've talked about the big one out at the bigger one at IEC. There were also instances where three quotes were obtained, where we said that emergencies, deviations were approved because of emergencies where the auditors felt it wasn't necessarily an emergency. IEC, we talked about when I said about the criteria that was not clearly stipulated, which was a big instance there that led to quite a large chunk of theirs. So also I think that investigation should be fairly finalized and the outcome should be available from IEC on what they're going to do with that one. Fraudulent tenders, I think through our investigation, we have not identified tenders where there wasn't something received on the event. So there was a non-compliance in how they awarded it, but we didn't identify contracts with no value were received. I think that is also important. The consequences we talked about. Okay, yeah. What we felt in IEC in terms of the action plans is, and I think it combines with your internal audit. An action plan is a document. An action plan, you write and you present to people and, you know, you can track it. But to me, the essence of it, and that's where internal audit for me plays an important role, is once I say to the manager, I have done something, I've taken an action, I've signed it off. The idea is that action should prevent that thing from happening again. So it is not to get rid of the symptom. We don't want to be like doctors and cure the sneezes. We want to get rid of the virus here, if I can call it that. And please, I don't say they have a virus, but for my example, I'm using it. So then we ask, or we recommend, that internal audit then goes and verifies and interrogates that action plan, whether that intended action or that action that has been taken has the required result. So if I built in an additional control to check that emergency is really emergency, I followed my policies, I've had all the relevant signatures, whether the deviations that's then approved as emergencies really are emergencies, internal audit can do a lot of work for me in the year to see. So I think that's what we mean then by the action plan. And in the past, this has been an issue where we have raised supply chain findings in the past. They haven't been that significant in IEC's case. So it has been under the surface, and that's why we talk about the action plan and the oversight that, you know, it has been there and now it is bubbled up one level. It's come to the audit report, and that's why we say we're necessarily happy with the oversight and the action plans happening in this environment, in the procurement environment. So we require a increased focus.
So it's more preventive.
Yes. And also, I'm not saying that, I know it's also controversial, but if you go through enough emergencies, they almost become normal, and you can start planning for them in an environment. I think the GPW environment is, oh, I suppose IEC also, when you look at the heightened activity during election campaign, it is a very unique environment. But both of these organisations have dealt with it in the past, so they should also be able to get to almost a plan for these events. You know, what are typically the things that go wrong? How are we going to deal with them up front? And therefore plan accordingly. Okay, then I think I've dealt with most of them. Chair, I think in terms of the recommendations, it's loose recommendations for the portfolio committee. From our side, we would love to have commitments from the committee to say, you know, how are you going to track actions? How are you going to make sure that things happen? And I think the committee has got a lot of power in terms of what they can ask. And I do understand your limitation, that you are also dependent on what people provide you. But if you built in this additional level of control to say that internal audit has verified that the actions taken by the entities have yielded the required result, then I think also that from a portfolio committee side, you know, you can have greater comfort in what was done to achieve this. So this is not prescriptive, but I would like to have, you know, we would like to have for our future engagement something that we can track also with our engagement with the committee. You know, how does the committee feel they are doing on tracking these commitments by the entities? Chair, my colleague wants to talk about internal audit.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Internal audit. I'll give a little background there on that. In a 3-year period, internal audit would have their 3-year rolling plan, where they will outline the activities that they will do in that 3 years. And then from that 3-year rolling plan, they will have an annual plan with the outlined activities, what they intend to do. Okay. In terms of IEC, the annual plan itself, let's say 80% of the plan was not carried out. So hence we're saying that they were not effective during the year.
You're done. Okay.
With the internal
questions.
Okay.
No. Proceed with all of them and then exhaust them.
All right.
Because we're still going to ask you about 90 questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If we can go to page 14 of the slide that member was referring to, there's two explanations there. The explanation of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is on top, and then the explanation of regular expenditure. I think what went wrong there is after the explanation, the procurement issues that deals with irregular expenditure came immediately next to the explanation for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So the fruitless and wasteful penalties and interest, that is the fruitless and wasteful that is now talking to expenditure incurred in vain. And then the rest is referring to irregular expenditure that Carl has already explained. Okay. In terms of the IT governance, okay, for IEC, there were issues that were identified with regards to security at IEC. And then what happened was now the entity went and addressed the matters, and then the auditors went back again to audit that in July, and then they found out that it was already addressed. So the reason why we kept it there is because when we evaluated for the financial year, there were issues on the IT governance. But today, as we speak, the matters have been resolved already.
The mic is off. Are you done?
I'm done.
You're still thinking deeply.
I'm looking through the questions to see if ever there's anything that we missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
While you are still looking at that and coordinating your thinking around the responses, is that these amounts that we have, that you have talked about, the how part that was done wrongly, do you have any opinion whether it was authorized expenditure? Just a little bit clarity. I'm sure it's if you have any answer, it is fine. But just to organize your thinking on the responses of those particular questions. Whether there was, if you remove what was authorized, then the amounts that are reflected under irregular expenditure, how it looks like authorized, or within the irregular expenditure, do we have an authorized expenditure? That's what I'm just trying to get to, and then so that we are clear, and then. Because it looks like nowadays that we don't have a section where you talk about unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, wasteful expenditure. We have now collapsed the section that talks to whether there was authorized expenditure or unauthorized expenditure. Then we know that people have just gone on a spending spree out of budget and all those, which are funny things. So if you can just organize your thoughts on that, and that would be matter. And then, of course, is that we should welcome the delegation of Home Affairs has joined us, led by the Deputy Minister, and then they will be around here with us through the next item.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and let me greet the Deputy Minister as well. In fact, we are dealing with two institutions here, which highly depend on their reputation, highly depend on their integrity, whether actual or perceived, for them to be credible. And the GPW, the government printing works, prints documents like examination papers and so forth. So integrity there is very, very important. The IEC decides on the elections, whether they are credible or not credible. So integrity is very important there. My question is there a clear reputation risk analysis that has been undertaken, and then if so, is the reputational risk analysis dependable? Thank you.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the first question on unauthorized expenditure, is both of these are private entities, or more like a company entity. They don't have unauthorized expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure comes more with the Department of Home Affairs. So that question, if we can park it, or we see Home Affairs on the authorized. So both of these, the expenditure were authorized and approved. It is just in the irregular expenditure category. I think the split is to ask the entities where the value was obtained for all of it, and then what's the process that followed, should somebody be held accountable. For these, I couldn't agree more on the two entities in terms of their reputations. These are very significant, very important entities. As far as I know, both entities have done risk assessments and are fully aware of the risks in their environment, and I think they're dependable, and the members can ask the entities, you know, what are your top strategic risks facing these entities, but I think foremost number one is your reputation, is your perceived independence. integrity. I think those both are should be available from the entities. My apologies, welcome, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, and to the delegation of Home Affairs from the Auditor General side. Chair, I think those questions were answered. Chair, we can show the faces as well now if Chair wants to go back to that. The faces that were temporarily.
Okay. And then we. One has disappeared again. Who is here now? Is Zolis? Can you show your face on your two legs? Thank you very much. That's from the Auditor General. Now it looks like we have got the other one, which is Unokul. She's a parliamentary liaison manager. Unokul, I miss Unokul. I don't know.
Kumar, yes.
Okay. All right. Then they are from the Auditor General. Anything else to say? All the questions that we're facing you are done?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable members, do you still have any questions to ask the Auditor General?
Three.
One. Done. So then you're not going to get the extra 90 questions. You're not going to get them. Okay. But thank you very much. I think we need to thank the Auditor General and then, for the input that they've made, just to highlight some of the things that should be taken seriously in relation to the two entities to make sure that they don't regress. Because that would actually affect their future, that should not be lost easily. And we hope that when we meet the two entities tomorrow, they'll provide some explanations for some of the things that you have raised. But like as I said, is that the mere fact that they have been able this time around to present financial statements that did not need to be manipulated for them to, I think that should be appreciated very much. And we just hope that those little gaps where they have actually not done very well, although that is not extensive areas, because for GPW, honorable members, is that there has been a slight challenge on the oversight responsibility and the audit action plans that we say that. And then for IEC, then it's the ICT government that will just need to actually deal with that specific area. And then they will tell us. And then, of course, is that in relation to that ICT government. And then their daily monitoring control, their complete financial performance report that probably does not flow from that, and then also have been affected. And then it is the internal audit. I think the discussion will continue about the internal audit. Not in the IEC alone, everywhere else. Because, it's for the efficient performance of the internal audit, it also goes along with its independence. And if it is part of the rest, the question is, how independent would it be to be able to say the unpopular things within the institution? That will always be the challenge. that they can make noise, but the noise may not be adhered to, because some of the noise sometimes they are costly to the to management, and management may always think differently. I think the question of independence of an internal audit on the organogram of any institution, at the end of the day, would have to be a thing that is looked at and resolved. I can't be your manager, but then you continue to tell me, you tell me unpopular things every day. in human nature, it doesn't really work that way. The day we find some sort of independence of an internal audit team, that is the day that we will get maybe half of the problem of non-compliance with legislation, with blah, 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 then it will definitely be reduced. Non-compliance to legislation is just that you have got people inside that tells you, no, you have not advertised for 15 days as required. You advertised for 10. It's wrong at 10. Then you just simply have that internal audit not saying that. Then you close tenders 10 days instead of after 15 days. Then you are not compliant. You see. So the question would be, what is difficult then that the internal audit can't tell management that you have not complied with the PFMA on this sector? That's a question of independence. That simply gets removed. And therefore, then they become almost mute. Thank you very much. And can we have maybe 2-3 minutes while Home Affairs can prepare themselves on the briefing on the meeting? And I'm sure when we start from Home Affairs, we will be assisted. If we can just have 1 or 2-3 sentences that just tells us what is that that we try to do with this bill politically? What is that we try to do with this bill? That is 2-3 sentences so that we are able, the main objective of the amendment, so that then we follow the presentation as we move forward. Thanks. Let's take the 3 minutes and relax and give one of them an opportunity to organize themselves. Thank you very much, Mr. General.